From eBay Main Street to Capitol Hill, there's one man sworn to uphold the law, fighting internet sales tax and cross-border trade restrictions. In the name of e-commerce, small business, and the eBay way, they call him the Deputy General. He's just moseyed into the studio to talk with Griff and Lee. Here's Griff.
Hey, you mind wiping your shoes, partner? Don't get all that stuff on my floor.
Giddy up.
That was really funny. We were laughing about that. Well, this segment is brought to you by the humorous folks at voicemarketingradio.com and our friends at WorthPoint, the ultimate tool to value your antiques and collectibles. And with us now is...
an antique and collectible.
Direct from the prairie, Todd Cohen, eBay Inc.'s Vice President and Deputy Counsel for Global Government Relations. Todd, I understand that a new online sales tax bill has been introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives. It doesn't end. What can you tell us about it?
It doesn't end. That's exactly right. And for everybody out in the... Hi, everybody. It's Todd. There's a new sales tax proposal dropped into the legislative hopper in Washington, D.C. by Congressman Jason Chaffetz of Utah, called the Remote Transactions Parity Act. Just a quick comment on...
Parity or parity?
Parity.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chaffetz is a former Brigham Young University place kicker for the football team and now a member of Congress from the Republican Party. He has been very active in trying to pass an internet sales tax. His new bill is different than the one that we've seen in the past called the Marketplace Fairness Act, the RTPA. It has most of the bad things that were in the Marketplace Fairness Act, and unfortunately it includes a whole bunch of new bad things in it. So, yeah, it's part of it is the success we've had engenders from the other side as opposed to a way to negotiate and end the fight, more of a let's just keep going all the way in. And that's not that's not rare, but having done this for now 15 years on behalf of the company and mostly on behalf of you, the sellers, this is another fight in which it's worth fighting because the bill itself would be a bad bill and be harmful. It would require you all to collect and remit sales taxes wherever the buyer was located. There are up to 9,600 different sales tax jurisdictions in the United States. You'd be responsible to collect in everyone where there was a buyer. And even worse, this bill now includes a provision that if you use eBay, you get no small seller exemption. So from your first sale, there would be a requirement to collect and remit the sales.
Oh,
tax.
Please.
Oh, right. This can't pass.
Wasn't there like a $1 million limit or something before?
Oh, we've seen $10 million limits, $5 million limits. This is the first one that if you use a marketplace such as eBay, but that also includes... for sellers out there that use Etsy or Amazon or any type of marketplace, they would get no small seller exemption at all.
And what are the chances of this passing?
Well, with the work of everybody on the radio, zero. And that's what our obligation and job is to fight that. And you all have been instrumental in being successfully stopping it in Washington. And we got to bring back up the posse and go and do it again.
Why is this guy doing this?
You know, I've asked
his
that
name
question.
Again?
Jason Chaffetz, Chaffetz.
You know what? I don't think they get it. I really don't.
Well, but they may not get it, but there's something that spurs them to write the bill and then submit it for consideration.
Could it be things that I can say that maybe you two cannot say?
I don't know.
Could it be the big retail guys that don't want us small sellers out there getting in on their action?
I don't know if that's...
Yeah, I do think that's a big chunk of it. I do think that a lot of it has to do with the supporters, the state tax collectors, and Utah's an odd place, having come from there. And being a Utahn, there's a strain of when they are convinced that it's, quote, the right thing to do, they're going to push it all the way through hell or high water. And one has to, you know, the only way you deal with that, they like to, in actuality, I think there's a little bit of bullying. There's a little bit of, we're the big guys, we know what's right for you all, and you don't know what you're talking about, and you're small guys, and we can bully you. I actually think that's part of what motivates Jason on this. It's the large retailers. There's, when you think about, there is a definite deficit in respect from small and medium-sized sellers. And
then why are they doing this if they're not, if they have no respect for us and they think that we're not going to hurt their business, why are they doing this?
Yeah, why?
Because they know it's going to hurt their business.
Because they can. That's what, you know, what's interesting, if you look at what motivates legislation in Washington, D.C., there's two things that, one of the most important reason I actually believe is the creation of the industry, the lobbying industry, and the need to have an issue.
Oh, yeah.
So there are an enormous number of people in Washington, D.C. who take the money from the retailers and advocate on their behalf at an annual clip of somewhere around, our estimate is about $50 million a year.
So it's K Street, Inc.
It's K Street, Inc. Yeah. It absolutely is. And they have the money to spend on it, the Walmarts, the Targets, the Best Buys. It's worth their while to spend that money. But they are told every year this will be their year. There's an enormous amount of Charlie Brown and Lucy. This year, you're going to kick the field goal, Charlie. Don't worry. I guarantee you we're going to kick it.
So
and
what,
they pull the ball.
What's the call to action here?
The call to action is what we all need you to do is join eBay Main Street, and there are 650,000 of you that are active members, and I appreciate it every moment, knowing that that's the most powerful group of people when it comes to our issues in the world. And those 650,000, and I hope you're one of them, each of you, that you all go to ebaymainstreet.com, which has now been totally revamped in the new world with the new eBay, and I'm very excited about it. And it's very easy, and it's send a note to your congressman from you saying, vote against, don't co-sponsor, do not support Jason Chaffetz's Remote Transaction Parity Act. It's easy to do on eBay Main Street, but what's most important is that you need to do it. And you individually, your voice is heard by them more than anyone else.
Todd, you know what we need to do? We need to have an audio, little 30-second audio promo for you guys at eBay Main Street.
Sounds like a good
idea. And we could run it in our breaks, you know what I mean, in rotation with some other ones we have.
We'd love to do that.
All right, why don't I kind of write something, get it over to you. You guys can look at it, revise it, and we'll play it on the show.
That's a deal.
Okay?
So what happens in a case where this does pass?
So if it passes, we'll fight it in different ways.
And so could this end up going through the judiciary? Could this end up in the Supreme Court?
Yeah, there's the whole basis of non-requirements of sellers to pay sales tax for remote sales is based upon a Supreme Court case called the Quill decision. The Quill pen company and stationery company was selling into the state of North Dakota, and the state of North Dakota tax collector sent them a note saying, please send us a check for, I think it was less than $1,000 for the number of goods that you have sold into North Dakota by phone. So this would have been in 1982, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court said that is not legal. And the reason why it is not legal is because you don't have enough contacts with the state of North Dakota Quill Paper Company, pen and paper company, and you have an obligation, therefore, to pay for this. And the Supreme Court said, no, you don't have an obligation to pay for it because of the complexity of the 9,600 different sales tax regimes, that the imposition on interstate commerce violated, of all portions, Section 3 of the Constitution, the Interstate Commerce Clause. And therefore, that is also one of the clauses in the Constitution that can be amended by Congress, not through a constitutional amendment, but Congress can, and the Supreme Court gave Congress the right to, if you made it simple enough and you believe that it didn't have enough, did not unfairly burden interstate commerce, Congress can create a regime that would allow for distant sales tax collection.
But doesn't this go against, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a constitutional scholar, but doesn't this go against the concept of nexus?
It does. It absolutely does. But there is because there is some activity that occurs in the targeted location, the sale itself occurs, even if the sale technically doesn't occur in North Dakota, let's just use North Dakota as an example. The goods themselves are delivered in North Dakota and are consumed in North Dakota. So there's an obligation to pay the sales tax, or in reality, there's an obligation to pay
the use tax.
The use tax, because that's where it was used. But states are loath to enforce use tax, and so it's much simpler to enforce the sales tax, and that the sale into the state of North Dakota would be sufficient if it was an easy enough system. They just haven't built the easy enough system because they're taxing jurisdictions, and taxing jurisdictions like to have set distinctions. So, for example, it's August, and in August, it's very common for many states to have a sales tax holiday on children's clothing for school.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's a complexity that a state chooses to include in its sales tax rules, but that makes it also very, very hard for a distant seller to keep track of all of that.
Exactly.
Oh, it would be a nightmare.
Oh, I just see
this. Hey, listen, Todd, I want to ask you very quickly. The Obama administration is currently negotiating historic trade agreements with many countries around the world. What's the current state of these negotiations, and what do they mean for our seller community?
Well, thanks to the work of many of you out in radio land, we were able to pass the Trade Promotion Authority in June, so there's a lot of, now that became law. Now the President and the United States Trade Representative are negotiating trade agreements. One is called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the other one is the Trade and Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership through the EU. Both of those are long-term. They're going to take some more time. But most importantly to the community is there's a customs reauthorization bill that we are working very hard to get passed. And we may call upon you to seek assistance if we believe it's not going to go through. The key thing that you all need to know about the customs reauthorization is that when you bring in a good any longer, there will no longer be instead of a $200 limit before customs are due, it would be an $800 limit, and we would seek the same for outside of the U.S. For exporters, we're trying to increase the amount of exemption you get before you have to collect customs.
Hey, can you stick around?
Yeah.
We may get some calls.
We might want to sing again.
This segment was brought to you by WorthPoint. Call us, 888-723-4630. You're listening to eBay Radio.
You hear about the Bubble Fast group on Facebook? Shipping tips and tricks? There's lots of people there with great ideas for shipping.
Shipping tips and tricks on Facebook?
That's really what they call it, shipping tips and tricks. They already have over 1,000 members. Mark and Robin at Bubble Fast set it up to promote more community and shipping support for eBayers.
So people interact through their postings?
Yep, it's pretty much what the name says, shipping tips and tricks. Folks share ideas, ask and answer questions about shipping, and add friends who might be interested. They considered calling it Thoroughly Brilliant Shipping Tips, or How to Improve Your Shipping Chops, or Ship Happens, stuff like that. But so far, they've kept the name plain and simple.
I think I'll check it out. You say I can do a Facebook search for shipping tips and tricks that gets me there?
Exactly. And remember to let your friends know. The exact address is facebook.com/shipping tips and tricks. Just another great idea from Bubble Fast. I'll see you there.
If you made a list of all you could do to succeed as an online seller, building your brand should be at the top. Mylo Design is who eBay sellers look to create a professional and effective brand. Sally Mylo will work with you to brand your business. She'll work one-on-one with you to create your logo, store pages, listing templates, and profile to help you stand out from the crowd. Sally can help your design and brand reflect your business across various media with graphics for social media, your website, printed materials, and more. Her work's not done until you say it's done. As a longtime eBay seller and certified eBay stores designer, Sally stays current on eBay features and policies. Your brand is your shopper's impression of you, so make it outstanding. Contact Sally at MyloDesign.com. That's MyloDesign.com for all your branding and design needs.
Getting your eBay items listed, then managing those listings is job one. You need a powerful tool that fits your business. That's why eBay certified provider John Slocum started 6-Bit Software. He's been listening to sellers since 1998, when he invented Auction Assistant, then went on to build Seller's Assistant and Blackthorn. His latest creation is 6-Bit, a flexible, intuitive desktop solution that makes it faster and easier to create and upload new listings. 6-Bit imports and exports data in several formats, and it's customizable. You can revise listings, leave feedback, send emails, print postage and packing slips, even add insurance right from your desktop. Home and hobby, small business, and enterprise versions let 6-Bit grow with you. Try this new product from an old friend free for 30 days at 6bitsoftware.com.